Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
If today you were called into the Superior Court or the State Court or the Supreme Court in the United States of America and someone said to you, "Will you defend Jesus?" what would you say? Would you know what to say? Would you be able to speak about salvation that is only found in the name of Jesus Christ? Would you be able to tell about your experience of salvation in His name and what He's done in your life? Would you be able to testify to that? The whole environment we live in is a courtroom, and Jesus Christ is on trial in this world. The Spirit of God is the lawyer of defense, and He calls each one of us to be a witness. And this is important, because people will make their conclusion about Jesus Christ based on our testimony and our witness. So this morning, the message is entitled, "How to Be a Positive Witness in a Negative World." If we're going to understand about what it means to be a witness, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit has empowered all of us and commanded all of us to be a witness in this negative world. And this is a privilege that we all share in this room if you are saved. The message for today is found in Colossians 4, starting with verse 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there to Colossians 4, verse 2. And as you turn there, let me just explain the past two chapters here. Chapters 3 and 4 basically are practical ways to walk with Christ. And when we get to chapter 4, it's practical ways that we can be a witness for Christ. See, Paul was all about this. He was burdened for those that didn't know Christ. And his life was spent telling others about Jesus. We should be burdened too. And my guess is that you might have a loved one or a family member or a friend that has never made the decision to follow Christ. Someone that you might care about deeply that don't know. And we can't help but think that if they were to die tonight, that they might spend eternity separated from God. This should burden our souls. How do we witness to these people that we care about so much? Well, Paul explains how we are to be a witness for Jesus Christ in these set of verses. So I'd like to read them to you, Colossians 4, starting with verse 2. It says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So this morning, I want to give you five ways that are important for us to remember when being a witness, an effective, positive witness for Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. A positive witness prays. A positive witness prays. We find this in verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Heard a story not too long ago about a famous man named Joshua Bell who emerged from a DC metro station, positioned himself against a wall by a trash can, looked just like a regular guy. He's wearing jeans, a t-shirt, a baseball cap. He put his violin on the floor and he took out the violin, threw in a few bucks, and for 45 minutes he began to play. He played Mozart and he played Schubert while 1,000 people walked in and out. If they would have been paying attention, they would have noticed that Joshua Bell was the world-renowned violinist. They would have noticed the Stradivarius rare violin that was worth $3 million. They would have known that just 3 days earlier, Joshua Bell had a sold-out concert in the Boston Symphony Hall with ordinary seats going for $100 a pop. They would have known these things. They would have recognized this master violinist. In the end, only 27 people stopped by. He made about $32 that day. And I can't help but think of how many of us pass by the master every day without even acknowledging his presence, without even acknowledging the power that he offers each one of us. We just walk right on by. So do you have a prayer life? Do you have a time during your day where you sit down with God and talk to him, communicate with him, abide with him? See, prayer is vitally important. If we're going to be a witness for Christ, we must commit ourselves to talk with God and pray. I want to take just a moment just to take a deep breath. Everybody with me, just breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Some of you are wishing that you had a breath mint right about now. Breathing is important. If we didn't breathe, we would die, right? It's vital for our physical health. Now, what if prayer was like breathing? Just like breathing is pretty essential to our physical well-being, prayer is essential to our spiritual well-being. Now, if you don't breathe, you die physically. If you don't pray, you will be physically dead. How can you be alive in Christ if you aren't talking with him? How can you have a relationship with God if you aren't communicating with him? You can't. Just like a friend, if you expect to have that friendship very long, you're going to be communicating with one another. If you're not communicating with one another, that friendship is going to be toast, all right? It's going to be no more. Why is our relationship with God any different? If you're not talking with God, you're going to know nothing about God. You're not going to be able to hear his voice. You're not going to be able to know what his voice sounds like. And so it's important for us to talk with him. We can try to go through life and try to witness on our own strength, but we're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to fall flat on our face. And I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants to talk with you. God wants to communicate with you. He wants you to know him and for you to experience the blessing and what it means to know him. If you aren't praying, then you need to start. We need to start praying. Allow God to fill us with his presence. So what do? We exhale the things that are on our heart and we inhale the presence of God. We inhale his joy and peace into our life. Prayer, just like breathing. And once we start praying, the Bible says to continue steadfastly in prayer. This word steadfast means to keep going. Don't give up. I've been working out for the past few months, I guess since last November, pretty consistently. You may not notice by looking at me, but I have lost weight, and I've gotten a lot stronger. And tomorrow, my friend that I've been working out with, we're doing something called the Murph Challenge, which is basically a workout to honor a fallen soldier, okay? And tomorrow, I'm going to hear things like, Cody, don't stop, don't give up, keep going. You know, those fallen soldiers, they didn't get to go home once they were finished. You get to go home. You have to keep going. It's so important to have people that can encourage us and spur us on to keep going. And that's what this verse is doing. It's telling us to not give up. We have to keep going, okay? Also get the idea of holding on and not letting go. If you've ever had a friend falling off a cliff and you grab their hand, that's never happened to me, but you've seen a movie of something like that, okay? And you're not going to let go of that person. And that's the same idea. We're not letting go. We're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to pray. Now what happens is sometimes when we pray that much is that we quit praying. But this verse says, don't stop. Keep going. Keep praying. Another idea that comes from this word is the word intensity. So when we pray, there needs to be an intensity in our prayer. The Bible is full of people that prayed intensely. I think of Jacob, who wrestled with God all night long, and he would not let go of him until God blessed him. So to pray like that, to go to God and say, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm going to keep praying for my friend. I'm not going to stop. That's intense type of prayer. So continue steadfastly. It says being watchful in it, to be awake and alert. Listen, when God's moving, we don't want to be asleep. I want to see when God actually starts moving. I want to see that happening. So I don't know how many of you guys have sat in a deer stand. When you're in a deer stand, you want to be awake. You want to be alert because the big buck is coming out. And if you're sleeping or picking your nose, you're going to miss the big buck. Be alert. Be awake. Now, the word doesn't actually have anything to do with hunting, but that's what I thought of. But one thing I did see is that that of a temple guard who took watch on the wall for the enemies. And he didn't want to fall asleep because if he did, then the kingdom would be taken. He wanted to be awake and alert. And that's the idea here, that if we're watchful and ready and intense in our prayer, then when God moves and opens the door for the gospel to be shared, then we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to go. We're going to be able to stand in wisdom during those times. So let's not get lazy. Let's not be sleepy and miss opportunities to be used by God. Then finally, it says, with thanksgiving. When we're praying, we need to be thankful because God has provided and blessed us in so many different ways. And here's the thought behind that. When we're thanking God, we're trusting that God is always working. We're trusting that he's working even though we don't see it. He's behind the scenes doing things. So when we go to the Lord and pray for our lost friends, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I know you're working in their life. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. God, I don't see it with my eyes, God, but I know you're working. And that's what we're doing. We're putting faith in God. We're thanking him before him and expressing our faith that God is already working even though we can't see it. So we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of prayer. If we're going to be a positive witness in the world, we need to pray. So I'd like to pray right now. Would you just go to the Lord in prayer with me? And I want you to pray for people that you might know that are lost, that have never accepted Christ. Would you pray just that you would be people of prayer and that God would lay them on your heart? So let's just go to the Lord. I'm going to give you just a few moments just to pray to yourself about the people that are lost and to help you to be people that call out to God. Let's do that right now. Lord, even right now, Lord, you're laying people on our heart. God, loved ones, friends, coworkers that have never made the decision to follow you. And God, you've put them on our heart for a reason. And right now, Lord, we just pray for their salvation. God, we pray for the people in this room that they would be faithful witnesses, that they would be positive witnesses in this world, that they come to you and pray and seek your face and know that it's only through you that we are saved, Lord. Would you equip us? Would you empower us to be your servants? And would you lead us to be faithful witnesses to these people that don't know you, God? Lord, we love you. We pray that you be with the rest of this sermon. And we pray this in your holy and your precious name. Amen. So that's the first way that we're a positive witness. The second way that we're a positive witness is when we use God's word. Verse 3 says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So when Paul is praying that God may open the door for the word to be shared, what he means is that we pray and God opens the door. God is the one that makes changes. God is the one that changes hearts. He's the one that changes circumstances and attitudes, and he's the one that softens the heart to be receptive to the word. So I want you to remember that God is the one that opens the door. And when he does, we share the word. He opens the door for the word. A lot of times we try to put ourselves in there when the doors are open. And we trust in ourselves. Well, I'm a good salesman, so I'm going to jump in that door and I'm going to start selling Jesus to those people. Or I've got a great story. So I'm going to try to connect that way. Or I have a lot of knowledge of Scripture, so I'm going to try to jump in there that way. And we rely on ourselves instead of God's Word. None of those things are bad as long as we do it with the right heart. But God has promised that he is going to bless and honor his Word. So yes, he may have given you certain abilities, but we cannot forget that God has given us his word to share. So when God opens the door, we share the word. And I want to give you some great verses that you can remember, just that might help you share the word. You've heard the Roman road before. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door and believes in me, I will come in. Some great verses. When the opportunity comes, we need to present the word of God and to be faithful in that. He goes on to say, on account of this, I am in prison. I want you to note this, that Paul is in jail while he's writing this, all right? And when he asks for prayer, he doesn't say, will you just pray that my jail cell would just open up? Would you pray that my bed would be comfortable? Would you pray that my food had a little bit more flavor in it? Instead of praying those things, what did he pray? He prayed that he would finish his task of sharing the gospel. He prayed for power to share the gospel. Now, this convicts me because when I'm in trial, if I was in this jail cell, sharing my faith would be the last thing on my mind, witnessing to others, because I'm so focused on myself. But Paul's here in a jail cell, and he's thinking about sharing Christ, and he doesn't ask for release from prison. He asks for power. So may we be people that in times of trouble, we would say, God, would you just give me power to be a witness through this? Would you just give me strength to share my faith with others? Wow, that would be awesome. He goes on to say that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. We're called to make it clear. We're called to make it simple so that people may understand. This is how we ought to speak. We don't have to have some long presentation about how to accept Christ into our life. We just need something that's very simple. A simple question. If you were to die tonight and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? What would you say? You know, or maybe a simple track. Steps to Peace with God. You can order these online. I have a whole bunch of these, and I've had the opportunity to use them on several occasions. Very simple. Very simple. A simple verse. A simple coin. I've had the opportunity to use these. I've seen Danny use these firsthand to share Christ with people. And it's very simple. On the front it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it has the verse right there. So simple to use. So effective to use. I want to challenge you to share your faith and to make it simple. You don't have to make it hard or a complicated thing. Make it simple, and God will use the rest. Here's the third thing. So we have a positive witness is one who prays, one who uses the word, and then one who walks with God. Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Walk in wisdom. So our walk affects our witness. If I was to stand up here and tell you to live in the light, yet I lived in darkness on a weekly basis, you would not believe what I was saying. My credibility would be gone. Okay, you would look at me like I was a liar and a fake. Okay, the same is true with us. We can't share with someone to give their entire life to Christ if we haven't done that ourselves. People are watching us. They're looking to see how we act. They're looking to see how we react. They're looking to see if we actually love people and actually care for others. They're looking to see that. And we're called to live in the light. The Bible says, let your light shine before men that people will see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Live in the light. Your walk affects your witness. It goes on to say, walk in wisdom towards outsiders.
Wisdom is knowledge God has given us to glorify him. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. So the one who is wise is one that is sharing their testimony, is witnessing, is someone that is winning souls. Goes on to say, making the best use of your time. We're not going to be here for very long. While we're on this earth, we're supposed to utilize the time that we've been given. So whenever you have a relationship with someone or you're talking with someone, is your conversation just totally horizontal? How's the weather? You know, how's your mother-in-law, whatever? Or does it ever become vertical? How is your relationship with God? So we have to switch. It's okay to start at the horizontal, but we must be thinking about the vertical, how to share Christ in those opportunities, looking for those open doors and taking advantage of that time that we have. Listen, I'll be the first to admit I've missed opportunity after opportunity, but I've also been blessed to have opportunities where I am able to share my faith. And opportunities where God opens the door and I share and their heart is closed. And so what I do during those times is I go to the Lord and I begin to pray. And I pray and I pray for more open doors. And so during my quiet time, I'm praying that God would just open those doors so that I would be faithful in sharing my faith and waiting on God and devoting myself to him. Number four, positive witness speaks graciously with others. Verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So how you talk and how you witness to people is important. Your speech must be gracious and loving without crossing the line into compromise. I remember when I was living in the Metroplex, we would go down to Sundance Square in Fort Worth. And each time we went down there, there was usually a preacher that was standing on a box preaching. And his sermon consisted of sin and hell. What was missing was Jesus and forgiveness and the cross. So he was sharing just a little bit of the gospel, and though it may have been true, he was missing the greatest part. And so we need to remember that we not only share the content, we share the full content of the gospel, and we do it in a manner or a spirit in which is gracious. It's both pointed and it's pleasant. It's like Christ was in John, how he spoke with grace and truth. That's how our speech is supposed to be. And then it says, let it be seasoned with salt. There has to be a force in our witness. There has to be a flavor to our words and to our testimony. Danny, you've heard it said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can feed that horse salt, all right? So do you talk of Jesus in a way that makes people's mouths water? Do your words create the opportunity for spiritual thirst in people's lives? I love the verse in Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do people, when you talk, do they see the sweetness in the Savior? Because God is good. Taste and see that he is good. We need to talk about Jesus in those ways. And then number five, a positive witness lets God take care of the results. So even though you may not find this last one in the scripture, it's inerrant in all scripture that God is the one that saves. And we're to be faithful witnesses, and we leave the results up to God. Over in England in the 1950s, there was a great Baptist preacher whose name was Francis Dixon. And Dixon had a young man that had just joined the church and was pretty faithful in coming. And so Francis Dixon asked this man named Peter to give his testimony. So he got up and he said, this is how I was saved. I was in the Royal Navy in Sydney, Australia. I was downtown one day on George Street when a little white-haired man came up to me. He stopped me and he said, excuse me, sir, but I have a question. I hope this won't offend you, sir, but if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? The Bible says it will be either heaven or hell. That is all. Have a good day. God bless. And he was gone. Peter said that question, where would I be in eternity, came like an arrow out of the bow of God. And I was miserable. I was under great conviction until I got back home to England, when I went to my Christian friend and I said, how am I to be saved? And he led me to the Lord, and I was saved that day. 3 years later, in 1953, there was a revival team that came to the church. And one of the leaders there was named Norwell. And Francis Dixon decided to ask Norwell to give his testimony. And so Norwell stood up and said, this is how I was saved. I was living in the beautiful city of Sydney, Australia, when a little white-haired man came out of nowhere and he said, excuse me, sir, I have a question for you. I hope it doesn't offend you, sir, but if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? The Bible says you'll either spend it in heaven or hell. Would you think about it, sir? That is all. Have a good day. And he left. And Norwell knew enough about the gospel that he went home and he got on his knees and he prayed and he accepted Christ as a savior. Right after the service, a man named Peter, the Peter that we just heard of, came up to Norwell and he said, Norwell, you have the same testimony as I do. I mean, not the same, but we both had an experience with this little white-haired man and were saved. The pastor was just overhearing this conversation and he was amazed. He had to share the story. So the next place he was invited to speak was the city of Adelaide in Australia. And while he was preaching about this amazing story of Peter and Norwell, there was a man in the back that was waving his hands during the service. And he said, excuse me, I need to tell you how I was saved. And he said, okay, go for it. And the man began to say, I was in Sydney, Australia, when a little white-haired man, like you were saying, came up to me on George Street. And he asked me, sir, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Think about it, would you, sir? And as a result of that, I was saved. So it happened again. Three people had been saved. And so he knew he had a story then. And so when he went down to Perth from Adelaide, a city called Perth, he told the story to the church again. And after the service, a Baptist deacon came up to him and said, sir, you're not going to believe this, but I was saved on George Street. This little white-haired man came up to me and told me about Jesus, and I was saved. So this just really blessed Pastor Dixon in such a way that he went home, he had to share the story with his church. And he began to share the story of how all these people came to know Christ through this little white-haired man. And right after the service, a woman came up and he said, you're really not going to believe this now, because I was in Sydney, Australia, and I met this little white-haired man. He said the exact same thing to me, and I was saved as a result of this. So Francis Dixon started using the story everywhere he went. Later on, he was invited to speak in Keswick, England. He told the story of the five who had been saved, and after the service, another man came up to him and said, I was walking down George Street in Sydney, Australia, and out of nowhere came a little white-haired man, and I was saved. Later on, in 1957, he was asked to go and speak in India to speak to a group of missionaries on personal evangelism. And as he was sharing this story, after the message, a missionary woman and a middle-aged woman came up to him and said, that happened to me too. I was in Sydney, Australia. A little white-haired man came up to me and asked me, where would I spend eternity? And that's how I was saved. He continued on to Jamaica. He told the story there. And an eighth person came forward and said, sir, I am another. I was walking down George Street in Sydney, Australia. And I want to stop that story here, because there's a little twist in this story too. Because not long after that, pastors passed along this story, and there was a pastor named Gene War who was sharing this story to a group of chaplains in Fort Benning, Georgia. And right after he shared this story, one of the chaplains raised his hand and said, sir, I am another. I was saved because of this little white-haired man on George Street. To continue the story, Pastor Dixon had to meet this little white-haired man. So he bought a ticket to Sydney, Australia, and when he got there, he called up his friend and said, sir, do you know where this little white-haired man is? Do you know who I'm talking about? Yes, I do. His name is Mr. Jenner. I'll take you right to his house. But you need to know he doesn't get out much anymore. He's dying of Parkinson's disease, and he can't see very well. And so they traveled out to Mr. Jenner's house, and they knocked on the door. And old, now very old, Mr. Jenner answered the door. He invited them in, and Pastor Dixon sat down with him, and he began to tell him story after story of the people that had come to know Christ through this man's ministry. And the little old man began to weep. He told them, "For 25 years, I have been speaking to at least 10 people a day, hundreds of people a year, thousands of people through the years." With tears running down his face, he said, "Do you know what? I've never heard of one person being saved in all these years. This is the first time I've ever heard of someone being saved because of my witness." Pretty amazing story. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask that you be a link in the chain of someone being saved. You might be the first link, you might be the last link, but don't be the missing link. God wants to use you to share the message of Jesus with others. I want to encourage you with 1 Corinthians. It says, "Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself diligently to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain." Remember Psalms 126, which says, "Those who sow with tears will reap with tears of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Galatians 6:9. Ladies and gentlemen, be a witness for Christ in this negative world. God wants to use you. And in the proper time, there will be a harvest. Be faithful to the Lord. Commit to pray to him and walk with him. Use his word. Speak truth. And God will use you in a mighty way. Will you stand with me?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.